Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday morning edition of the Yard. It's actually Sunday afternoon. I guess Sunday pre-evening, maybe. Wanted to get ahead of the game. I had some time today. It's been a good content day over at Gene's page. We already had 10 stories done by around 4 o'clock, so I thought, hey, let me get a head start on the Boneyard. And as Melanie Moody, a listener to the show and a contributor at times to our top 10 list, had a good idea, and she also tagged me in a post over on Facebook that reminded me this is the 8-year anniversary of a unique date, and we'll get to that in our first segment of the show. Some things I'm going to tell you that maybe you don't know. It's been a hot weekend here in Starkville, Mississippi. I'm sure it has been where you are, too. Hey, it's summertime. But, hey, you know what? It's July 20th. It is July 20th, and we're about 10 days away from the opening of Mississippi State preseason football camp. Next thing you know, we'll be in high school football season. In about 6 weeks, we will be breaking down the week one game against Southern Miss. So, almost there, kids. Almost. But I know these are the dog days of summer. You know, late July, early August. Very, very hot. And been without air in the office now for several days. But I've made the most of it. Try to get my stuff done in the morning and get to other parts of the house where there is some cool air working. Very blessed and fortunate. Sometimes having multiple air conditioned units can be a curse, but also a blessing at times like these. But, yeah, Grant, we got the grass cut. Got the AC guys coming Monday morning. Things are looking up. Hope things are looking up for you as well. And appreciate all of you that have reached out. You guys are awesome, man. I get, like, if I ever talk about anything that's going on in my life, and you guys are so good to reach out and, like, offer your support. And listen, I appreciate that. I do my best to support you guys, too. But, yeah, it's super cool, man. It really is. And I do my best to respond to all those messages. I do my best. But sometimes, you know, there's so much that goes on Facebook. You know, people, like, message me, you know, hey, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? That's kind of what we do for a living, you know. And so you want to subscribe to Gene's page, I'm happy to answer those questions there. But what inevitably ends up happening is, you know, I think this weekend, I didn't respond. I think I've had half a dozen messages about Davion Hickson. You know, they announced he's signing yet. Guys, I don't know how else I can say it. I've written it. I've said it. I've tweeted it. You know, and so I don't know that you need an actual, you know, personal confirmation of what's happening with all that stuff. But if you want to learn more about your portal class, I wrote a piece up earlier today with some quotes and links to the articles when the guys explained their decisions on why Mississippi State was the right move. We're the only people that can make that claim. We've been able to talk to everybody. And you can read those articles for free at jeanspage.com We don't make that stuff VIP. We feel like when a player commits to this university, that everybody deserves the right to celebrate that announcement. And so we make it free. We do. Because we're all sharing in this, right? So we don't think that should be VIP content. That's how I see it. And I run the show, you know, so that's how we do it. We make all commitment stories free so that everybody can read and also to kind of get to know the player a little bit. You kind of find out what the deciding factors were. All that stuff's important. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. I love having Bulldog Burger Company in my town because I can go get it whenever I want to. It's a special experience every time I go. You know, I never look at it, well, this is just old hat. I enjoy going in there because, you know, number one, the diversity of the menu. There's so many things on there, a lot of different ways I can go. You know, some days I'm just kind of craving that hamburger, right? And other days I'm thinking, hey, I want to eat a little bit lighter today. So I had the BLT salad, which is a very substantial portion. I like it grilled. You may like it fried. It's perfectly okay. I'm not judging. But you get the Sloppy Joe sliders, the Sweet Heat chicken sandwich. There's so many great items to choose from. And be sure and ask about the specials. There's always something new and fresh that maybe they're kind of checking out. And, you know, so whether you're in town or on the way to town, Bulldog Burger Company has a location to accommodate you. Of course, University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer that make you and everybody around you better looking. It'll improve your disposition. And it makes you better looking. It's on the menu. It is. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. You know, sometimes too, for me, especially after I have a big meal, I want dessert, but I may not want it immediately. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes I get dessert to go and I go put it in the fridge. And then after I get home and after, you know, those enzymes get to working, you get to feeling good and you need that palate cleanser, that's when I go get it. So sometimes I get dessert to go. There are other times I feel like, you know, sometimes, you know, you run across something, you're like, you know what, the only thing that would make this meal better is dessert. And they've got some great options to choose from. They're Bulldog Burger Company. Be sure and check them out. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. This is Sunday, July 20th. And this is the eight-year anniversary of Hugh Freeze's resignation at Ole Miss. And I'm not going to rehash all those details about everything that happened. You can go Google all that stuff. There's articles from ESPN, the Washington Post. I mean, anywhere you can just Google my name and his name. All that comes up, been well documented. But I thought about doing this before during the summer. Thought about doing like a bonus show about some of the stuff. But I thought, you know what, we won't put it all out there, but we're going to talk about some things on the show today in our first segment. Then we'll get into our top 10 list, and, you know, we've got some other things to discuss as well. But, you know, I thought today would be a good day to kind of give you guys maybe some intel about all that maybe you don't know. So it's interesting because, you know, time flies, right? And I told my wife just last night, I guess, you know, it's about 10 years to the day that I got that first tip about the NCAA investigating Ole Miss football. Almost 10 years to the day. And then lo and behold, today pops up and it's the anniversary. And so for those of you that don't know, the very first tip that I got about this is somebody got my number from somebody else that lived in and around Waynesboro, Mississippi. And they had someone in their life that was involved with proctoring the ACT and that they had witnessed some irregularities or things that they were kind of concerned about. And lo and behold, the NCAA came knocking one day and interviewed this person's significant other. And this guy was worried that this person very close to him may end up losing her job over all this stuff, even though they had not been involved in any wrongdoing. But you never know how this stuff's going to go, right? I mean, there are a lot of places out there because Mississippi is an at-will employment state. He's like, you know, we just don't want to be a part of any drama, so we're going to just free ourselves from this, and we're not going to renew your contract. This is what he was worried about. And so he said he had gone to the Hattiesburg American. He said he had gone to the Clarion Ledger and somebody else, maybe the Biloxi Sun-Herald. He had gone to multiple newspaper publications in Central and South Mississippi to kind of get out in front of this a little bit. And it's not even a Mississippi State person. That's the first thing that people think. And anyway, so I took this and I said, well, let me see what I can do. It's not really my scope of journalism, but let me see what I can do. And so I went to multiple people with the Clarion Ledger. And I said, hey, this person here says that there have been interviews about Ole Miss's football signees taking the ACT in Waynesboro, even though they're out-of-state signees. And I think we can all agree it's a little weird. You know, even Delvin Jones, who I interviewed when I wrote Flim Flam, he got a little bit gun-shy, you know, and after a while just wanted to terminate the interview. Because I asked him, I said, whose idea was it for you to take it in Waynesboro? We don't want to say. I think we can connect those dots, but we'll leave that speculation alone. But anyway, so I went to multiple people at the Ledger, one person at the Biloxi Sun-Herald, and one person at the Hattiesburg American, and nobody would touch the story. Nobody. And I thought, you know, at the very least, just call this guy and just see what he's got to say. You know, you can connect the dots from there. If there's a story there, there's a story there, and if not, you know, move on with life. Nobody ever called him. Nobody. Nobody reached out to him. Nobody reached out to his significant other. And he followed up with me. It's like 2 weeks later. And so I went back to these people, and I'm like, hey, I'm not going to name them. You know, you can read Flim Flam for more detail. But anyway, he's like, hey, I thought you were going to help. I said, man, I went and I talked to all these people. You mean to tell me they hadn't contacted you? He goes, no, nobody's contacted me. So I go back, and a couple of those people, whose names you know, didn't respond to me, which really raised an eyebrow, right? And I had somebody else, former employee at the Clarion Ledger, another name you know, said, you know, we're all just so busy. I said, you mean to tell me you're too busy to look into this, that this is a person that has firsthand information about the NCAA having investigative boots on the ground in the state of Mississippi, and that's not worth your time? That's interesting to me. Why would that not be worth your time? And he goes, well, you know, it's not really something we can get to right now. And so immediately I thought, you know what, this is horse hockey. This could be a career-making story for somebody like that. And to give Riley Blevins a lot of credit, guy that used to work for the Scout.com Tennessee site, eventually went to work as the prep reporter for the Ledger, and then became like the Ole Miss beat writer when Hugh Kellenberger became the, quote, columnist. And you want to talk about a guy that didn't do his job in that situation. Now, I find out later that, and depends on who you talk to, right? Everybody's experience is a little bit different. I talked to somebody else that said, hey, as I'm writing Flim Flam, you need to talk to this person because this person really wanted us to attack that story, and he was kind of talked out of it. So I get a hold of this gentleman, and he didn't want to speak on the record. And, of course, after Flim Flam came out, he read it and said, you know what, I should have talked on the record. And I said, yes, you should have. I protect my sources. But it was apparent well before Flim Flam was finished that there was essentially a conspiracy of silence with all this stuff. And what was interesting is some of these people in the media who elected not to report on the story began to kind of attack me publicly and privately. Which, if you know your good friend and host well, that typically does not go well. That'll elicit a response from me that may not be what you're expecting. And then this campaign got started. Like, Gene still owned Gene's page back then, But I worked directly for Gene. Like, and then I used to work for Fox Sports and Gene and Scout.com. And then everything, when I moved to Mississippi, became like one contract, which is great. But all these people, it was this campaign, somebody somewhere, one of these busybodies on Facebook or whatever, began to send all these emails to like Scout.com, trying to get me fired, saying I was making all this stuff up. At this point, we didn't know anything about the Hugh Freeze stuff. We just knew that they were under investigation. They accused me of trying to hurt them in recruiting, you know. All the while, the fine folks at Ole Miss obviously had already received notification from the NCAA that they were being investigated, and they had a notice of allegations. And things got really crazy. Because I said, you know what, I tell you what, because I just, let me just shut everybody up, including many people in the in-state media that did an extremely poor job and were essentially complicit in a cover-up. And as I told one media member back then, I said, either you guys are completely incompetent or you're complicit in the cover-up. You can decide which one you're the most comfortable with. But either way, you guys are not doing your jobs. And so it got a little chilly.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It did. And so I got all these emails, and of course a lot of those got forwarded to me, so I knew who they were. Never responded to any of that stuff. But I have it. I have it. And one day we may publish all that stuff. We'll see. And then started getting the death threats, obviously. And some of you guys are aware of that stuff. And that's a longer story for a longer day. I ended up having to speak to the FBI. That's always fun. My wife is working nights at the hospital back then. And she gets up, comes downstairs after I've been down to the sheriff's department to have to file this report. And have to tell her. And then she, you know, starts crying, and she's like, I don't want anything to happen to you guys. Nothing's going to happen to me, but I'm more worried about her and my girls, right? I mean, you know, my older son's living in another state, so I wasn't as worried about him. But, you know, my girls drive, and you never know. I mean, all it takes is one crazy person. And we see this all the time now. Social media has emboldened people where they think that they can be some type of hero. You know, it's crazy, right? So I didn't worry so much about myself, but I worried about my family. And, and then I remember Dana dried up all her tears, and she said, you know what, if you don't finish this book, then all this has been for nothing. And at that point, the goose was cooked. Because once I knew that she was going to back me up on this thing, it was over. Of course, you know, we went to before the State Ethics Commission, filed a complaint with the Ethics Commission, and made that public, and people thought I was crazy, you know. But I just kind of threw the gauntlet down. I wanted that notice of allegations. They were not going to give it to me. I took Ole Miss before the State Ethics Commission. And then, of course, they changed their tune just before the hearing. Oh, we really want to make this stuff public. Well, you and I both know that's disingenuous. I don't believe that for a second. So we got all the names eventually. Took a while. But one of the ladies that was involved in this whole shenanigans, when her name was made public, of course, kind of began this campaign of hatred against me and was calling bookstores to try to get my book signings canceled, things of that nature. And then there were some people trying to get my wife fired at the hospital. And the more that they pushed, the more determined that I became. And so at that point, I just kind of decided, I don't really care where this thing leads me. I don't even care what happens in the end, but I'm going to make sure the truth is told. Now, Steve Robertson, seven books in, would have written Flim Flam a little differently. I wouldn't have been nearly as careful. Because if somebody did try to sue me for defamation, which I didn't defame anybody, and I've never, to this day in my life, have ever been sued for defamation, nor have I ever had anybody file suit against me or send me a cease and desist notice, none of that. Because when you tell the truth, when people want to take this thing into the court system, it opens them up for discovery too. And so then, I mean, you thought Flim Flam was great. If I'd had the process of discovery, just imagine how good that book would have been. And we sold tens of thousands of copies of that book. But looking back in hindsight, I wouldn't have been nearly as scared. I wouldn't have maybe tiptoed around some things. I wouldn't have pulled so many punches. That's the truth. Seven books in, you feel a little bit different, right? Not to mention, too, I got great lawyers. But all that understood, we got all that stuff out. And then there was one lady, and this is all public record, so you can go search for it. I'm not going to mention the name just because I don't want people to go harass her, because I think that I'm better than that. I don't need to go call out the internet army to make my point. But there was a lady, and maybe ladies being generous, but there was a woman that's from my wife's hometown that doesn't even know my wife. They didn't hang out together. They didn't go to school together. Matter of fact, she's older than us. And she began to go to Twitter and social media and say all these hateful things about my wife. And I remember her saying, I'm trying to remember the exact quote, but it's basically, you know, the gloves are off. I'm tired of being the nice guy or whatever, you know. So they knew they couldn't get to me. They tried so long to get to me, so then they want to attack my family. And so here's the thing about that. My attitude has always been this, and I still believe this to this day. You say what you want to about me, because I don't really care. You know, there's some people out there, obviously, that have a lot to say about me that don't, you know, their sources about me are terrible, absolutely terrible. But when you drag my wife and kids into it, then I'm going to react, and I did. And it's funny how it all works. So I had my lawyer, Casey Lott, who was great, one of my lawyers, but he's my main one. We filed suit on behalf of my wife over all this defamatory stuff. And all of a sudden, everyone thinks, well, Steve Robertson is suing her and blah, 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 which wasn't true because the burden of proof for defamation when you're a public figure is much, much higher. My wife's a private citizen, though. She's not a public figure. And so as a result, I wasn't even a party to the case. And there were some people on the other side of this. According to the defendant in the case, she was contacted by some of these, you know, high-priced Ole Miss lawyers that are big football fans. They would love to have gotten me under oath. And eventually, I did go under oath, but not in relation to this. And it's so interesting, too. I don't think that went how they wanted it to go at all. And at some point, I'll probably publish that, my deposition. I may just publish that for the world to see. And I know there's some people on the other side that don't want that, which may be enough reason to do it. But nevertheless, my wife wins. It ends up going, you know, woman ends up filing bankruptcy, goes for the bankruptcy court, had to rule on the merits. My wife won again. And a lot of people thought, you know, Steve, why would you go through with all this? Well, it's not just that instance, because it happened like three different times with the same person. But sometimes you just got to send a message to people. You know, you don't like the way that I write. You don't like, you know, you don't like the quality of my reporting. That's completely fine. You know, that's part of the gig. But when you go after the people I love and care about, that's a different story. And I think that's an important one. It's an important aspect of this. And so I share that with you. To kind of get to this next point, there were a lot of people that had a lot to say. There are a lot of people in the media that had a lot to say. And they were people that should have been on my side that had nothing to say. Absolutely nothing to say. And there were some people, when discussions about me and this all came up, they'd just delete it. I wouldn't respond to it. I know I had to go look for all that stuff. It's part of discovery. And so I share that with you because I want you to know this. If this situation would ever come up again, and I think it probably won't, this is probably a once-in-a-lifetime type deal, but if anything like this ever happens again, if I have material information, if I have evidence of this kind of stuff, I'm going to be a lot less cautious than I was when all this went on. And people would say, Steve, you were absolutely reckless. Guys, that will feel like nothing. That will feel like a high school homecoming pep rally compared to what happens the next time, if I'm ever in that situation again. Because I won't be so private, and I won't be so careful. We'll come out both barrels blazing. And you may recall, too, I never wrote an article about any of this stuff on Gene's page. Never. Talked about it on the Boneyard. Talked about it on Twitter. Never, ever, ever did I write an article. Because, number one, I didn't want to involve Gene in it, right? I thought, you know what, there's some crazy people out there, and people can sue you for whatever. And I thought, you know what, if I write this on Gene's page, it could bring Gene into it. It could bring 247 into it. And I just didn't want to do that. I'm like, you know what? If they want to come after me as an individual, come after me as an individual. But I didn't want to involve our business in it. Probably cost us a ton of money. Because had I provided updates and written articles about this stuff on Gene's page, you know, obviously people would have subscribed to read it. And not to mention the free content that goes along with it. We'd had a lot of people that would have viewed that stuff. But I didn't do that. And it surprised people. And it's so funny. Like when I went to this Rebel Rags deposition thing, they asked for all these articles that I'd written, and I hadn't written any. And they couldn't believe it. There's none. And you guys on the Boneyard, you guys got a lot of all this information first. A ton of it first. Like when we found out there was a prohibition on official visitors for Ole Miss, they were self-imposing that penalty. You guys got that first. And it's so funny how that thing, when I put that out there, people lost their minds. Like, how did he know? How did he know? Well, I knew. And that's all that matters, is that I knew. And I reported factual information. Now, there was some people, as it got close to the players involved in all this, there was a lot of stuff out there. And it was difficult, you know, to kind of sort through what was true and what wasn't true. Because, you know, student-athlete names are redacted in those types of documents, and they should be. But you can kind of put things together. There were a lot of people that, you know, they're the details of a situation were in the notice of allegations. And then, of course, these people, you know, they absolutely had to brag, you know. And so you could kind of go find the tweets of these people basically bragging about their interactions with student-athletes and impermissible benefits. And so then you can kind of fill in the, you know, connect the dots and fill in the blanks that way. But what you may not know is after I won before the State Ethics Commission, the case got appealed to the Hinds County Chancery Court, and it was so funny. My lawyer, Casey, went in there, and the judge was an Ole Miss educated judge, and he had an Ole Miss water cup. And before he sits down, and of course it's all paranoia, you know, he's taking a drink, and it's almost like he's tipping that Ole Miss cup towards my lawyer. But I can't remember the judge's name. I wish I could. I didn't go look all this stuff up. But he basically wrote an appeal-proof decision. And the thing that I learned a lot about the Mississippi judicial system is that there are a lot of people out there, as much as they love college football, they love the law more. And so Chris, the guy that's the attorney for the State Ethics Commission at the time, is an Ole Miss guy. And he agreed with me. You know, he wrote the opinion of the Ethics Commission and agreed with me and helped present that case. The Hinds County Chancery Judge was an Ole Miss guy. It goes all the way to the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, and there's a lot of Ole Miss educated justices on the state Supreme Court at that time. We got an in-bank ruling there. Basically, it was a moot point because somebody else in the Ole Miss recruiting media put some things out there before our case could be heard. So everything became public record. And it also kind of changed the way that state-funded institutions have to handle communication from the NCAA. That could be considered, you know, unflattering. And that's one of the things that I argued in my brief to the Ethics Commission is, and I wrote those myself, was that the fact that they were redirecting, there were two central points, that the fact that they were redirecting unflattering correspondence out of state to circumvent the Mississippi Open Records Law, that action in and of itself was unethical, and they should be sanctioned for that. Number two, if your attorney has something, then you have something, because they are your agent and your counsel. And so when they possess it, then you possess it. And that was one of the cases that I made. And you can't sit here and tell me that, you know, somebody didn't call it up on a PDF file. You know, just because you didn't have the physical copy here, the printed copy delivered by the mailman, doesn't mean that you don't have it. They were trying to say they didn't have a respondent document. Well, we knew better. And we won. And now, this whole secured custodian stuff that was all set up during the Bobby Kiyat administration at Ole Miss, I mean, that's all out the window now. And so that applies to everybody, right? And so in the future, you know, if there's an NCAA case within the state, you know, we should not have any problem getting those documents, whether they be Mississippi State, Ole Miss, or whoever. Because now there is an established precedent that has gone all the way to the state Supreme Court. And it's a pretty cool thing, you know. And I will tell you this, there was some other people that tried to, like, piggyback off my efforts. I can't think of the name of that little blog group, but, like, this guy, basically when the case was almost done, well, then they filed wanting the notice of allegations and then claimed that they had won their fight. They had nothing to do with it. If anything, them and their lawyer was a distraction. It was already done. If anything, they delayed everything. It was ridiculous. But that's kind of what happens. There's a lot of people that want to co-op with you when they know that you're going to be winning something of significance. But, yeah, we made it out of that thing alive, and I got to tell you, I got a friend. I won't tell you the name. But I had a friend that was so worried. Like, it was 8 years ago today. All this stuff is blowing up. My phone is ringing. And I didn't answer any numbers I didn't know. And buddy calls me, and he goes, hey, leave in the morning. Bring Dan and the kids here. You guys just stay here for like a month. He goes, I know that Dana's got vacation time. The hospital will understand, but I'm afraid they're going to kill you. And I goes, you know, give me a little while to figure this thing out. And the next morning, everything stopped. All of the social media hatred, all of the crank calls, all of the nonsense, it all stopped on July 21st. Everything. And it was just like somebody turned off a faucet. I think a lot of it was just the shame of it all, right? Because so many people, you know, kind of bought into all of that stuff, and they believed everything that was said and, you know, kind of propagated in that respect. And I think there were a lot of people that were just ashamed. And there were some people that just could not believe, you know, that the dreadlock tattooed guy from Mississippi State got it right. I even had a guy, an older gentleman, Ole Miss fan, emailed me. Maybe 2 weeks after all this happened. And he emailed me and he said, you know, if ESPN, you know, or somebody like that had broken this story, it had been different. He goes, but the fact that it was the Mississippi State guy, that's a difficult thing to live with. I live really well with it, just so you know. I learned a lot throughout this process, not just about myself, about the judicial system, but about Ole Miss. And how their relationships with the print media in Mississippi at that time was pretty much what you all thought it was. I think it's better now, and I think it's better because of this case. Because it wasn't just Ole Miss. It wasn't just Hugh Freeze, and it wasn't just some Ole Miss fans out there. They really just wanted to believe things were good. Right, I mean, they got lied to as well. Like there are a lot of Ole Miss people that just were they bought into a lie because they really wanted to believe it. Right, they were winning and things were going good, and they felt like okay, it's just the people are hating on us, and there were people within the Ole Miss inner circles that lied to those people, and then it spreads, right, and it's easy like. Like the people are different. It's what does Forrest Whitaker say? You know, people are funny. They may not believe an allegation, but they'll believe a confession from anybody. You know, it's funny how those things work. But I had somebody else in the national media. After all this stuff happened, a lot of people come to town, interview me. A lot of names you know. Mark Schlabaugh, one of them. We had lunch at Bulldog Burger Company. And you can call that story up. But had another name, not Mark, but another name in the industry said that all of this was a stinging indictment on the Mississippi print media. That because that they were either unwilling to follow through with their mandate as journalists because of the loss of potential advertising revenue. And listen, I get it was a difficult time for newspapers. But maybe, just maybe, we've killed some of those old ghosts at the Clarion Ledger and other spots. Because I can tell you, and I still got the old phone somewhere, and who knows if it still works, but I got some text messages to some names you know of people that just wouldn't chase the story. Just absolutely would not chase the story. No matter how much evidence that I used to tell them, I said, hey, you're going to look stupid on this. This is happening. This is happening. And then I had a former employee of the Clarion Ledger tell me that there was a story or two that was kind of proposed. And then after the meeting broke, somebody kind of pulled them aside and said, I don't know if we want to play up that angle. Let's do this. I do commend Riley Blevins. I think there were a lot of people that went after him. Not because of his reporting, but because of the fact that they were probably kind of instructed to or encouraged to. And Riley's out of the industry. And I think there is probably, number one, it was probably a mistake to have a young greenhorn guy chasing such an important story with a very popular head coach at the center of it. And you know, it's easy in hindsight to say, you know, that was a mistake. Truth of the matter is all this Clarion Ledger coverage of the scandal should have come from Jackson. You shouldn't have had, you know, Riley Blevins having to interview Laramie Tunsil's stepdad and then Hugh Freeze in the same day, you know. But in the end, it's all behind us now. Ole Miss has clearly rebounded in football. And it's so funny I see people say, well, you know, look, they turned both programs around. It's got nothing to do with us. Right, we've got our own problems that had nothing to do with any of this. You know, obviously we had a head coach pass away unexpectedly, and there's no book out there to explain how to navigate that. We've done the best we could. And this is probably the first year we're going to have a regular season for the first time since 2020, maybe 2022. I guess 2021 weren't normal at all. You know, the first normal type season we've had since 22. And, you know, that's the main thing this program needs is stability. But anybody that thinks that we went into a tailspin because Ole Miss had to fire Hugh Freeze, you're kidding yourself. But I have had some correspondence with Hugh Freeze over the years. I can tell you he has apologized to me. I'm not saying that I want to go play golf with him or anything like that. But he apologized to me, and he says, I'm sorry about the things that happened to you and your family. And I believe that. I don't know that I believe a lot of the other things, but I believe that. I do believe that he is regretful for that. He had nothing to do with any of that stuff. That was just all these crazy people. And he himself and former Chancellor Vitter all said they had an out-of-control booster culture, and we all knew that. But they benefited from it until it was time to go face the Committee on Infractions. But anyway, it's hard to believe. Yeah, it's been 8 years. 10 years since I got the first tip, and then 8 years since, you know, Hugh Freeze resigned. Pretty crazy, man. Pretty crazy stuff. It's time for our close with Blair, Player of the Day. Blair Chandler, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Don't overthink this. It's too big a decision. And sometimes when you have to make big decisions, you have a tendency to overthink it. Listen, Blair Chandler, 24 years of experience in the mortgage loan origination industry. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. It's a guy that gets things done. Thus the name Close with Blair, C-L-O-S-E, with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. We're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home. The only name to know is Blair Chandler, a Bulldog through and through, season ticket holder in multiple sports. It's a place here in town. He rides a wave of emotion just like you do. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. There's a lot of things to know about buying a house. And rather than trust your business to somebody that maybe doesn't have your best interest at heart and you don't know it, stick with Blair. Our closing Blair player of the day is going to be New Mississippi State basketball transfer Jaden Epps. I mentioned we had the basketball media availability with most of the transfers last week. One of the guys that impressed me the most was his ability to articulate himself was Jaden Epps. You can watch that video for free over at jeanspage.com. He began his career at Illinois and then spent 2 years at Georgetown. He'll be at Mississippi State now for his senior year. What's interesting about him is everybody talks about his burst, you know, kind of getting out and going. 2 years ago, he averaged 18.5 points a game. He was down 12.5 last year. A little different scenario, obviously, for him. But if we get a dozen points a game from him in this backcourt that we have that we're really excited about, I think we're going to be really happy with the end result. But I've enjoyed having an opportunity to learn more about these players. It's one thing, you know, to read their interviews when they commit and that sort of stuff. But I really appreciate Matt Dunaway and Coach Chris Jans making those players available to us last week. Now that they've been here for a little while and have had the opportunity to kind of get to know Mississippi State a little bit better, I thought it was a very timely media opportunity. And Jacob Bain has written all those stories out. They're also available to you for free, whether you're a Jeans Page subscriber or not. And one thanks to Blair Chandler, as always, for supporting the show and sponsoring the player of the day. Time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's CalidoGuitars.com. Kalido Guitars, a Mississippi State-owned and operated guitar shop in Lake Jackson, Texas. As you guys know, I like to keep business in the family. You could go out and buy something somewhere else, but you know what? You go buy something online. You know what happens a lot of times. You buy something online, you get it home, it's damaged, or perhaps not exactly what you want. Then it's like such a hassle to kind of get things handled. Deal with the personal touch of Kalido Guitars. Expertise and quality service before, during, and after the sale. Whether you stop by the showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, you order online, or you order over the phone, we got a promo code to help you. That's BSR. You know what it stands for. There's just so much that encompasses, too. Well, that gives you a 10% discount off your purchase price. That's a Kenfolk's discount for being a Bulldog. You get free shipping. You get no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And then they make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. I wish more businesses did that. Super cool. So whether you need a new instrument and you can get a beginner's guitar all the way up to professional grade, get acoustic, electric, classical, gig bags, cases, all the accessories you need. I've got a guitar stand from them I'm very proud of. And if you've got a guitar leaning against the wall, it's not good for it. Just telling you, they're not that expensive, but they're very handy and they serve a great purpose. But anytime that you need guitar accessories, rather than go into some, you know, international conglomerate that's never going to contribute to Mississippi State, you can get that same piece of equipment from our friends at Kalido Guitars at a discount, but also too, you're helping out Mississippi State in the process. Be sure and check them out today, Kalido Guitars. Okay, Melanie Moody says, hey Steve, with the anniversary of the Freeze resignation, how about a top 10 about phone calls? I am happy to oblige. Actually, a bigger list of phone call songs than you could possibly imagine. Sometimes I Google like lists just to make sure I'm not missing anything. And the lists themselves are missing a lot. Because a lot of this stuff kind of has a recency bias to it. And I'm an older guy. So I've got maybe a little greater sense of experience with a lot of this stuff. But we're going to start with number 10. A band that David Murray did our top 10 list four because they're one of his favorite bands. We're talking Steely Dan, reminding us, Ricky, don't lose that number. Very interesting band, for sure. Number nine, shout out to the homie Sam Denton, who Rat is his favorite band. We've been able to work some Rat stuff in here as of late. From Invasion of Your Privacy, it's a deeper cut called Got Me on the Line. Super cool. So opens up, hello, and then next thing you know, Warren DeMartini's off to the races. Number eight, a little bit deeper maybe than some other people would expect, but it's Stevie Wonder had a number one hit with this. I Just Called to Say I Love You. Do you get many of those calls? I get more crank calls and telemarketing calls than those kinds of calls, but it's always nice when somebody just kind of checks in. This just lets you know they care about you and how you're doing. One of the things that I ask people a lot, especially when I deal with people that are struggling a little bit, one of the things that I ask them, you know, is when is the last time that somebody asked you how you were doing? You know, we get really busy. All of us do. We all get busy. We get caught up in our own nonsense, and sometimes we get main character energy, and we think that everybody else is like just playing a supporting role in our lives. But we have an obligation to our friends and our family and people that we love to check in. I saw a post recently from somebody that I know fairly well that they had taken a break from social media and nobody had like messaged them to check on them. And there's a little bit of narcissistic quality in that aspect of it too. But I begin to kind of think about that is like, you know, how many times do, because we have so many people on social media we follow, how many times do people kind of come up missing because they're dealing with something and we just don't recognize it? You know, there's some people that overshare on Facebook and that sort of stuff and anything they do in their lives, if they have lunch or breakfast or take a trip or, you know, they rent an Airbnb and they take all this photo shoot stuff and you think everything is great in your lives, but it pays to check in on your friends. And I've done a good bit of that here as of late. You know, people maybe I hadn't heard from in a while. Not everybody. There's a lot of people to keep up with, but especially some people in recovery. I've kind of done my best to kind of keep up with them because sometimes I see things. You know, you see things on social media and they're kind of clues, you know. So I encourage you, stay in contact with your friends. Number seven, it's Carly Rae Jepsen's big hit, the top 40 classic, I guess you could say, for this generation. It's Call Me Maybe. Here's my number, Call Me Maybe. I don't know if we called her maybe, but nevertheless, an interesting little song. Number six, going back to the middle school days, I remember having this cassette. It had blue lettering on it. And it's New Edition's debut album with Mr. Telephone Man. There's something wrong with my line. When I dial my baby's number, I get a click every time. Clever, clever. Number five, Evanescence. I once dated a girl that looked a lot like Amy Lee. And when Evanescence first came up, I had this feeling of maybe cognitive dissonance a little bit. I'm like, is that her? It's not her. And who knew that we had such a gothic beauty in Central Arkansas, kind of living among us, you know. But Amy Lee, still doing some great things. I recently saw her on one of these little reels on social media, like playing Name That Tune. I don't know the name of the account. I did follow it. I think it's pretty neat. But after Ben Moody left Evanescence, and he was the primary songwriter, that first album, Fallen, it was incredible. It was really unlike anything we'd heard, and of course, she has this operatic Victorian quality to everything that she does, and I don't know why everybody doesn't just love Amy Lee. I do. She's phenomenal. But on the follow-up album, one of the bigger hits is Call Me When You're Sober. Words to live by. Number four, Jim Croce. I think I've shared with you guys before, of course, Jim tragically died in a plane crash outside of Natchitoches, Louisiana, and lived there for a while, and got to hear a lot about all that stuff. And Jim, an amazing singer-songwriter, it's a wonder that more of his music has not really been passed down to this next generation, just because of the fact with this Americana vibe, it's kind of coming back. Jim was kind of one of the forerunners of that movement. But it's a song Operator, and Jim was a great storyteller in song, and this is one about him trying to get a hold of his girlfriend. She left town with his best friend. And, you know, there's just a lot to it. But the harmonies on this are legit. All right, number three, I've seen do you follow that 70s? I can't remember the name of the Twitter account, like 70 Sports, whatever, but it's not just sports. I do a lot of crazy stuff on there. And the guy sells T-shirts from all this popular culture stuff from the 70s and 80s. And recently has done the 867-5309 T-shirts, and then people are, like, getting their picture made with girls named Jenny. That's right. It's Tommy Two Tones, 867-5309. And if memory serves me correct, that number was actually the number of a radio station. I think that's correct. I don't remember the area code, but a very, very clever one-hit wonder. Number two. A great use of falsetto. It's Adam Levine and Maroon 5's Payphone. I like that song. I like that song a lot. Thus, it's number two on our list. I think Maroon 5, of course, kind of started more as a radio rock-friendly band, and then they got a little more top 40-ish. And obviously, they've had some success because of, was it X Factor or whatever, that show, you know, America's Got Talent, whatever it is, one of those shows. I don't watch that stuff, but it occasionally it'll pop up, you know, on social media. But Payphone is a super cool song. But number one, not that I'm asking for this, but it's Blondie's Call Me. And if you don't know the earlier phases of that band, like a lot of people know, you know, Blondie because Debbie Harry, incredibly beautiful, but incredibly talented. And she's just, you know, a force to be reckoned with. Before she was radio-friendly, Blondie was a punk band, right? And so Debbie Harry has a lot in her catalog that kind of stretches across genres. You know, a lot of people kind of see her only as, you know, the early stages of MTV and Rapture and the Tide is High and all that kind of stuff. But Call Me, one of the more rocking songs of the top 40 type era of that band. And even though Debbie is blonde, the band is not named after her. It's a cool name for a band, but nevertheless, that's your top 10 songs about phone calls. So thanks for the suggestion, Melanie, and your contributions to the show. And we appreciate this being an interactive show. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanthi. And he did tweet out some of your more recent list on his account, Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can also follow him on Spotify and get our great list right there. I know many of you working in the yard are always looking for something cool to listen to. We're happy to provide that with you. You can follow me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why we love them? Because they have the things we want. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? We want more Mississippi State merch. So it doesn't matter what the occasion is, a birthday, a holiday, anniversary, or just to say I love you, or I'm thinking of you, or I'd like to show you something cool, you can get it at Campus Bookmart. Because you're never going to go wrong buying Bulldog fans Mississippi State merch. Whether it be apparel, gift ideas, or perhaps something to detail out the fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart at times. You can even get your tailgating supplies there too. A lot of cool stuff that you can have to make game day a little more maroon. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. I usually get the complimentary hug. I'm finding out that's not for everybody. But maybe, you know, some specialized service there. You know, maybe you make a nice purchase and you get the, you know, pat on the back or something. But I love going in there. Those people feel like family to me. If you can't make it to town, but you would love to support a Starkville business, and we always support that, hit them up on Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. And as we've mentioned, college football season is going to be here sooner rather than later. So if you need to upgrade kid jerseys or T-shirts, now's the time to do it. And everybody's going to be thrilled with that. You know it. And maybe you're going to sneak in like one last beach trip before school starts. Now's the time to go ahead and make those purchases while there's a lot of selection. Campus Bookmart. All right, time for our next opponent preview. It's Missouri. We've kind of worked our way through this stuff pretty quick. And, of course, on Wednesday, we'll talk a little bit about Ole Miss. But looking at Missouri, really good year last year for Mizzou. And I give a lot of that credit to Brady Cook. I mean, Brady Cook knows exactly what Eli Drinkwitz wants in that offense. And I think that Brady Cook has probably got it's a bit unheralded. Of course, he's moved on now. But it's so interesting, you know, Eli has the 1 year as a head coach at Appalachian State in 19. That was it. 1 year. And then next thing you know, he's a head coach in the Southeastern Conference. Pretty crazy, right? It is. I think we all know that. But, you know, has the great year at App State. And of course, he inherited a great team. It wasn't like he built App State. Because back in 2018, App State went 11-2, with Scott Satterfield as the coach. So it wasn't like there was an empty cupboard. And so you kind of wondered, at least I did, is this Eli Drinkwitz thing kind of a product of inherited talent at App State? Well, the first few years at Missouri would kind of lead to that line of thinking. 2020, they went 5-5. Of course, lost at Mississippi State. 21, they go 6-7. 2022, they go 6-7. In each of those 2 years, they had a 6-6 regular season, and they lost a bowl game. So the first 3 years, no winning seasons in overall record or in SEC play. The closest they came, obviously, is 2020, and we played an SEC-only schedule. They went 5-5, right? Well, 3-5, 3-5. And then in 2023, Missouri was kind of the talk of the conference, right? I mean, there were a lot of people who were surprised. They went 11-2, and a lot of people thought Drinkwitz was probably coaching for his job. Well, he answers his critics with a top 10 finish. They win the Cotton Bowl and finish number 8 in the country when it's all said and done. And then people are thinking, well, what's the real Eli Drinkwitz experience? Well, nearly mirrored that same level of success. Well, one less game overall in the SEC. They go 5-3 in the league. They win the Music City Bowl to finish 10-3. So let's kind of run it back and see how it went. They opened up and just blew out the Murray State Racers 51-0. And that's not even a fair fight. I mean, that's just, Jody Wright's the head coach there. I love Jody. Think he'll do really well in that league, but that's a paycheck game, right? Week number two, they blow out Buffalo 38-0. So, 2 weeks into the year against non-conference opponents, you're outscoring them, 89-0. You're feeling pretty good about life, and you're starting to think, okay, if we can find a way to get Boston College and be 3-0, in non-conference with a later game against UMass that will probably go our way, all of a sudden you start feeling good about being bowl eligible. But, man, they had bigger fish to fry than that. Well, they get Boston College in Columbia 27-21. They had the gold out game and everything, and it's just that was kind of a turning point game for them. And, of course, they gave up some points defensively. But, in the third quarter, going to the fourth quarter, you just kind of felt like it was going to be Missouri's game. They're up 24-14, up 10 points going to the fourth quarter. They're able to hold on. They did give up a touchdown there. But a big win over a team from Boston College that was ranked in the top 25. And then you've got all this craziness going on with Vanderbilt, right? Would the real Vandy please stand up? We just didn't know. And Missouri gets them in double overtime at Ferriott Field there in Columbia. So you've opened up with four games at home, and you've won them all. You're 4-0 headed to College Station. First road game against an A&M team, ranked in the top 25. And there were a lot of people expecting Missouri to go win this game. Well, they didn't. They got absolutely smoked in this game. A&M wins this thing 41-10. And if you recall, that game was over basically at the half. It was 24-0 A&M at the break. And from there, they just kind of matched scores down the stretch, and A&M wins in a cakewalk 41-10. So everybody's like, oh, this Missouri team's not for real. Well, they bounce back and get that win over UMass. And so now all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're 5-1. We lost on the road in the SEC. There's no real danger in that. And then Auburn goes to Missouri, and it looks like Auburn's going to win the game. it's 3-3 at the break. And then all of a sudden, you know, you look up, it's 17-6 Auburn. You're like, this thing is done. Hugh Freeze is going to get a bit the big SEC road win, put themselves in a great position to be bowl eligible. Brady Cook's knocked out of the game. Brady comes back. They get a touchdown, get the two-point conversion to make it a 17-14 game to pull within a field goal. And what do you know? They end up putting together a 17-play, 95-yard drive and score with less than a minute to play to take the final lead 21-17. And all of a sudden, everybody's back on the bandwagon. Then you got to go to Alabama, who had kind of been scuffling a little bit, but the Tide's like, ah, oh, that's no problem. 34-0 in favor of the Tide. Big win for Missouri. You know, old Southwest Conference matchup, I guess, or at least a Big Eight. But Oklahoma goes to Como and comes home with a loss 30-23. Then Missouri's got to go to South Carolina, who was, again, ranked in the top 25. Big matchup, and it's, you know, we've said it before, Williams-Brice at night is a very difficult place to play. Now, this game kicked off in the afternoon. Of course, it ended after the sun went down, but this was a wild affair. I don't know if you guys remember this one. Maybe you do, but Missouri had the lead 30-27 with a minute 15 to go. You remember that? And they lose. They lose 34-30. Yeah, pretty crazy. South Carolina has the lead, 5 minutes to play. Missouri goes down and scores, and you think, you know what? Maybe they scored too soon. They did, and they end up losing the game. So, again, a very competitive game on the road there, but it's a loss. And then they come to state, and it's a 39-20 game. And I've kind of blocked that game from my memory in many respects because we had so much trouble stopping them. But you look up after one quarter, and it's 14-10. State actually opened up with the lead here, opening possession. 38-yard field goal by Kyle Ferry makes it 3-0. And then they had that fumble recovery. Do you remember this? We fumbled the football. They return it for a touchdown, 68 yards. Guys, we're going in. We're about to make it a two-score game. And that's just kind of how snake-bit Mississippi State was at time last year. We fumble the football. They run it back, 68 yards. We had a couple of those last year. Difference-making plays. They get the ball back, make it 14-3. But after one very highly entertaining quarter, it's 14-10. And Missouri has done nothing offensively. And then they kind of figured out here. They get Luther Burden for a long pass, 21-10. A long run to Marcus Carroll makes it 28-10. And, you know, we pulled within 31-20 on a Davin Booth run with about 5 minutes to go, and they went down and scored again and had a chance to score again. And you remember Eli Drinkwitz saying, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to score again. But outside of that first quarter and a half, it was pretty much on Missouri. And they have closed the regular season. This has been a better game, I think, than a lot of people give credit to, because, you know, it really hasn't been a scenario where Arkansas and Missouri have been playing for anything incredibly substantial. But there have been some really good games in this series. And I would, you know, there are a lot of times that game has been on a Friday. And it's been a lot of fun. Missouri actually leads the series 12-4. Did you know that? Pretty crazy. But they have Missouri has won 3 of the last 4 and 8 of the last 9. But last year's game, 28-21. Missouri blew them out the year before, 48-14. 2022, a 29-27 game. Back in 2020, it's a 50-48 game. So there have been some entertaining games, even back in 17, 48-45. So you never know what's going to happen in that game, which makes it worth it. It's the battle line rivalry. So Missouri gets that game, and then they win the Music City Bowl over Iowa 27-24. So, again, good year for them. Really good at home, 7-0 at home, and we have to make that trip up there. So let's take a look at this year's schedule. It's a little different team, obviously, but they have recruited well, and a lot of people think it may be the most talented team. I always wonder a little bit when you lose the, you know, the veteran quarterback. you know, when you lose that guy, there is that year of kind of up and down stuff. There's going to be up and down with new players. But they open up the year, you know, decent non-conference. They get Central Arkansas on Thursday night, August 28th. So that'll be a game I'm sure we're all eager to watch because it'll involve an SEC team, but it'll be a blowout. I mean, surely. And then the old rivalry game, Kansas and Missouri, and this rivalry has really been played out more on the men's basketball court. But that'll be an interesting one. They're going to stripe it out. It's going to be another home game. And again, you know, they're going to open up what, six straight games at home. Yeah, six straight home games. How crazy is that? You get Central Arkansas, Kansas, then you get Louisiana coming in September 13th. Then South Carolina makes a trip. Then UMass makes a trip. Then Alabama makes a trip. So the first road game is going to be at Jordan-Hare Stadium on October the 18th. Then you go to Vandy. Then A&M comes in. And then Mississippi State comes in. You start thinking, Steve, I mean, goodness, how many home games are going to have? Well, a lot of them. And then Oklahoma will host them the 22nd, Arkansas the 29th. And so down the stretch, four of six games, all against SEC opponents, will be on the road. So a really good chance for Missouri to get out of the gate strong because, number one, Kansas will be a fun game. But the rest of that non-conference schedule, you can pretty much go ahead and pencil those wins in. Not exactly sure. If South Carolina can go up there and win. South Carolina is a team at times that has really struggled on the road. They're really great at home, but this is going to be an afternoon game. You know, we'll see what happens there. I don't give them much chance of beating Alabama, but, you know, with the Kalen DeBoer experience, who knows? Going to Auburn, and again, I'm sure Hugh Freeze and those guys are thinking, you know what, we let one get away against these guys last year. He shouldn't have to have the big motivational speech. And, you know, Vanderbilt obviously has been better, especially at home. But this is a really manageable schedule for the most part. You know, you don't have Georgia. You don't have Texas. You don't have LSU. You know, so, you know, probably three of the top four teams you avoid. We think Ole Miss is going to be pretty good, too. You don't have to play them. And so you're kind of getting the benefit, I think, of a favorable schedule, and then you've got many of your more difficult opponents coming to your place, including Alabama. So I would not rule out another 10-win season for them because I think the schedule is so incredibly favorable. I think you guys probably see it the same way. I don't think there's any questions about it. Missouri ought to be a team, provided they get some pretty good quarterback play, that they can be a very good team. I don't think there's a lot of teams around that maybe have as good a schedule in this league. I just don't know. You know, I think, you know, you never know what everybody else has coming back. And there's so many X factors now with the portal. There's always somebody new that maybe you don't know as well. And obviously they have Kevin Coleman coming in. But it's just, you know, Missouri used to be one of those games you looked at and said it's just another game on the schedule. But I think there are going to be people that will be up to play them. I think they've earned that level of respect. But Brady Cook's a good player and a really good college quarterback. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I think the fact that Brady has had so many pieces around him, you know, we'll see how things go. Now, Sam Horn, of course, who also pitched for the baseball team, didn't pitch against us. They saved him for the SEC tournament, is expected to be a factor in this program. Got drafted late. Everybody knows he's not going to sign. But it'll be interesting. Kind of what happens, you know, with this quarterback grouping. But Sam Horn is an absolute dude. There are a lot of people that think that he should be baseball only. Now, Luther Burden is gone, and Luther Burden and Kevin Coleman were not good friends. And now that Luther's gone, I guess Kevin's kind of cleared to come home. And what's the reality of that thing, too, is that there's so many people that kind of wanted to make that out to be like something that we did wrong. It just really wasn't the case. There was a great push to get him to stay. Chance for him to go home. He did it. He's a kid from St. Louis, Missouri. And when you look at the fact they've had back-to-back 10-plus winning seasons, you probably feel like, you know what, I got a chance to go up there and put up some big numbers. And he put up big numbers in this offense on a team that won two games. Offensive line is going to be kind of a work in progress. They did hit the portal a little bit hard there too. But the running game, I think, will carry them for a while they kind of figure out, you know, kind of what they want to be offensively. You're breaking in a new quarterback. It's an important part of it. But I think the running game is something they can rely on, provided the offensive line kind of gels. And by the time we play them, you know, they'll have a pretty good idea of who they are and what they want to do. Defensively, they have always, in recent years, had one or two of these big defensive linemen that were kind of difficult to deal with. Demond Wilson comes in from Georgia. That'll be interesting. See how he kind of shakes things loose. Zion Young is another guy that has some ability. Josiah Trotter, expected to be a big part of this thing on the linebacker side. And the secondary, he's got some guys that can really run. There's probably not an all-SEC performer in there come season's end, but they do have a couple good safeties back with Burks, Carnell. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. And remember, Jalen Catalan from Arkansas went to UNLV. Now he's in Missouri. It's crazy. The guy's had a couple medical red shirts. But, yeah, I think this is a really good schedule and a team that could be really good by season's end when it all kind of, you know, when everything is kind of known. Because you know you got some speed at wide receiver. You didn't need Kevin Coleman to get there to know that. They have done a really good job kind of breaking into the portal recruiting aspect of things. They have really done a good job also recruiting high school players. It put some really good players to work. You know, Ahmad Hardy, of course, a guy that we chased a little bit last year too. He's headed to Missouri after a year at Louisiana Monroe. But, yeah, that running back room has a chance to be really good. But, again, you start working through all this stuff, and you begin to kind of wonder a little bit about how does Missouri handle kind of being a known commodity now? I think this team is capable of winning 10 games because the schedule is so favorable, but I don't think there is a sure loss on the schedule, if that makes sense to you. I don't think there is a game maybe outside of Alabama coming in you look at and say, oh, they'll definitely be the underdog in that game. I think everything else kind of plays in their favor. Of course, you know, the road trip to Norman, that could be interesting, but, you know, what do we know about the Sooners? But outside of that, I mean, again, those two games that you maybe consider toss-ups, and again, I think Alabama's more than likely a loss, you got a good chance to win the rest of them. And so that would be three consecutive seasons with 10 wins or more for the Missouri Tigers. That's pretty incredible. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We stayed there for New Year's. We had a great time. You will too, I guarantee it. 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, the old renovated country club clubhouse outside the Highlands. Very easy to get to. Plenty of parking out there. I mean, how many times do you go rent an Airbnb or something like that and you get there and there's not suitable parking? Well, that's not an issue here. You also get the benefit of the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit, 6 bedrooms, 3 baths. What are you waiting for? We say it all the time. We don't get together enough. Certainly should. I can tell you it was very rewarding for us to have all of our kids and grandkids under one roof for a couple nights. Super nice to be able to just kind of spend some time together and enjoy being a family. Even if it's not a ballgame weekend, it's a great opportunity for you to get those you love together under one roof. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, the Facebook page will pop up, and you can peruse all the amenities available to you and your guest. There'll be some booking options that come up, too. You can go the Airbnb route. You can go the VRBO route, whatever you want to do. But if you want to save some money, and I'm sure you do, book through the Evolve website. And use promo code BSR10. That's right, BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. Absolutely incredible place to stay. You owe it to yourself to get your friends or your family group together and have a good time at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, last segment of the show. You know, we got some players now that are coming to terms, and now it appears that every player connected to Mississippi State that was signed, with the exception of Jacob Parker, is going to sign a pro deal. So we'll run it down for you as best we can. Of course, JoJo Parker, the twin brother of Jacob Parker, has already been announced as a signee. He gets $6.2 million signing bonus. You get a chance to be a $6 million man, kind of a throwback reference there, you got to do it. That ends up being about 90% of slot thereabouts. They saved a little over $600,000 in that deal to add some other savings to sign other players. Landon Harmon flying out this week to Washington, D.C., have a chance to go tour the complex, the home office, all that good stuff, set to sign the deal on Thursday. Now, you may recall Eli Willits was the first overall pick of the Washington Nationals, and he signed pretty significantly under slot. And people ask me, well, why would he do that? Well, it's because he was projected to go like pick number 6 or 7. So he kind of gets the money he was expected to get there. But he goes, number one, to an organization that he likes. But also, two, they get a chance for some savings. Well, some of that's going to trickle down to Landon Harmon. And the asking price that we were told kind of going into the draft was around $2 million, and it was going to be a firm number. Well, his slot value was just over $1 million. And we're told he's going to get pretty much his asking price. So that's kind of why that works and how that works. Our buddy Pico Khan signed last week, signing value of $550,300. Well, that's a slot value. You minus out the $2,500 contingency bonus, and it's full slot. So Pico gets full slot from the Yanks there in the fourth round. Evan Sieri is the only one I haven't really had a chance to run down and kind of see where he is, but the expectation is for him to sign as an eighth rounder with Texas. Slot value for that pick's $233,400, and we expect him to get full slot. I don't think there's any question. Carson Ligon got a pretty good deal when all was said and done. He's a senior saver, signed in the ninth round by Toronto, and most guys on the back end of a draft, rounds 11 through 20, that's about $150,000. You take these seniors in the top 10 rounds and sign them for less in slot to give you savings to sign some guys in the back. And it appears that Toronto now is done. They got all their signees agreed to bonuses. And Carson gets $125,000. And happy for him and his family. Now, Hunter Hines, of course, signed right away. He is a true senior saver. Slot value of $193,800. He's going to get $5,000 to sign. And, again, that's why you take him in the 10th round, because of the fact it gives you a little more negotiating power, because seniors have no leverage. But we wish Hunter the absolute best. Kind of a surprise, and I didn't expect this, to be honest with you. And I talked to some people close to Dottie, and they felt like he was going to go on to college and, you know, to Texas and kind of work with them. But he's announced today as a signer with the Arizona Diamondbacks in the 11th round for $500,000. Well, 150 of that's already allocated, so 350 of that will come out of the bonus pool. So good thing for him. I think Dottie was probably a guy, when you think about if he comes back for another year, that's probably where he would have been. You know, around that fourth or fifth round type deal as a reliever. So it makes sense. Hey, let's just go ahead and get a deal done. So congratulations to them. Nate Williams had a chance to trade some messages with him this morning. He flew out to Arizona today, drafted by the Cubs in the 13th round. Just set to go through his physical and then sign his deal. We expect that to be the full 150, if not a little bit more. We'll see. But he's got a year of leverage to work with. And so you can't short sell him and offer him $25,000 and expect him to sign. And so, of course, all this stuff has already been agreed upon before the picks are made, more times than not. Certainly the top 10 rounds are, but when you got a junior guy, it's a little different dynamic. And then Jacob Pruitt. Traded some messages with Jacob Pruitt earlier today. Of course, he had recently signed a deal with Missouri to transfer there. Got drafted by the Phillies on Monday. He is going to probably get around $150,000 as well. And maybe a little bit more, we'll see. He is a draft-eligible junior. But he says his signing could come as early as tomorrow. He's expecting to get that thing done. But that's where we are. And so, again, you get seven current Bulldogs and two signees. So that's nine guys. And it appears that all nine of them are going to sign. Most of them already have signed or have at least come to terms. And, again, the Evan Sierra thing is something we'll continue to watch. But certainly all picks taken in the first 10 rounds sign with about a 99% rate. And that's kind of where things sit. But I think the cool thing about this is we're not being held hostage at this point, right? I mean, the last couple of years we've had to deal with that on the back end of the draft. You'd have a signee drafted or a current player drafted, and then you'd have to wait this thing out to determine if you needed to go back in the portal to get another player. We went through that last year with Dave Mershon, right? I mean, that went down to the last day. This year, there's no – I mean, the hay's in the barn, right? Unless something crazy happens and Evan Sierra just decides to come back, which that's not going to happen because of where he drafted. That's the only thing that you're sitting here thinking that's a possibility of not going as projected. But, you know, I think it's safe to say that deal was done long time before the pick was formally announced. And Evan's a kind of a quieter guy, but the reality of it is Evan Sierra got better at Mississippi State and was a guy that we could really count on down the stretch. But when you begin to think about that aspect of it, the luxury that Brian O'Connor and his staff have to kind of know now what things look like. You're not having to play the if-then game, and that's so significant just because of the fact that there's still some value in the portal, and maybe you could pick up another arm, and I think maybe you get one, maybe two more guys out of the portal, but I think with Jacob Parker coming in, that's a scenario too where you're not having to deal with having to go chase another outfielder in the portal. You know, I think that's a huge part of this thing is you probably, and I know this for a fact, we were still kind of looking for an outfielder because we weren't expecting Jacob Parker to come to school. Well, now he's here, so that spot is pretty much taken care of. And he is a guy too. I don't expect him to start, but I do expect him to contribute some as a freshman. A lot of people are kind of thinking he'll start, but you kind of forget what all we brought in from the portal. You know, James Nunnally, of course, a guy that started as a freshman last year. Aiden Teal, of course. You bring in Blake Bevis. That's a guy that can do some things. Stallman is coming back. I mean, there's just a lot of factors there. Bryce Chance, of course, is coming back. So you're going to be kind of outfielder heavy. You're going to have a lot of depth out there. So you don't have to rush Jacob Parker along. I think you get him some at-bats this year, let him play some in the midweek. Maybe he can fill in some on the weekends. And then next year, I think he is in a position to be an everyday player at Mississippi State. You would say, but Steve, it's a second-round talent. Hey, if he comes in here in the fall and he outperforms guys, he's going to start. Simple as that. He is. But that's something we'll figure out when we get into fall baseball. That's the most important aspect of all of this. It's just, hey, you've got a ton of competition, and then we're going to have a chance to go compete to win these jobs. And the truth of the matter is when you begin to look around this team, right, I would say that the only job that is settled right now is third base with Ace Reese. I think that's the only thing that's settled. Now, you feel Ryder Woodson will likely come in here and be your everyday shortstop. Probably, right? But he's got to go win the job. He said so himself. You know, Drew Weyers is a guy that can play third, second, or short. Kind of a utility guy. That's a big thing, too. You look at the first base side of things. You know, maybe you can find, you know, a true first baseman. But, you know, you got a handful of guys that have some experience playing there. Right? Vitas Belenkis can play first. Bevis can play first. Stallman can play first. So that's something we'll have to flesh out. Of course, you bring Gat Sanders back at second, but now you've got some additional competition. And I remember this time last year, some people were thinking Gat Sanders may not even make the team. He ends up being one of our top five hitters last year and made some incredible defensive plays. And as he got more comfortable, you began to get some of those plays, those sellout plays from him. And I think when he and Sawyer Reeves kind of begin to find some chemistry out there, your Mississippi State defense got a lot better. But I don't think anything is promised to Gat Sanders, and I don't think Gat needs it to be promised. I think Gat's a guy that's going to go out there and compete. Because remember, this time last year, nobody had Gatlin Sanders starting. Nobody. and he ends up being the primary starter at second base when it's all said and done. You think about Garrett Fry, where does he factor in all this stuff? You know, Noah Sullivan, he's a guy that can play a little bit at first, also DH. You know, how does that play in? You know, how will Brian O'Connor use those guys the same way that Chris Simonis did? Well, we don't know. That's what makes fall ball so intriguing, is because there are so many moving parts to this thing. And last year, we kind of had to string some things together to get our best bats in the lineup. I think this year, it's going to be a completely different dynamic, because you're going to have some true outfielders out there, not converted outfielders. And Reed Stallman got out there and did the best he could, but there were times that he looked lost out there. And you can't blame him. He'd never been an outfielder. He played some left before, but you put him out there and right, and at times it was an adventure. You look at the catching position. I mean, you feel like Maluski's probably the guy, but, I mean, do you think Raymond's just going to show up here and concede the job? Of course not. It's a guy that started 50 games last year. So there's a lot that's going to have to be figured out just on the defensive side of things. And you begin to wonder, do you just kind of put your best nine bats out there and just kind of figure it out? Do you want to just play more offensive, kind of trade a little defense for a little more offense? You know, we'll see. And you begin to think about the pitching aspect of this. Well, you know, one of the very first commitments you got was Thomas Valenkas, right? So this is a weekend guy coming in from Virginia who is a real dude, expected to contend for your Friday night job. Then you think about Ryan McPherson. Then you think about Charlie Foster. Then you think about Tyler Pitzer, a guy that made the Cape Cod All-Star game. You see the first guy, the bullpen. See a guy that you put out there when the kitchen's hot. I don't know. But there's a lot to figure out. But the good thing is I think we have a very talented cast of players that it's kind of hard to go wrong with it. And again, we talk about nothing is certain, but I think Aiden Teal is going to be your starting center fielder, right? I mean, this is a guy that had a tremendous year last year at Virginia. It's a guy that Brian O'Connor knows well. Now, Aiden's a guy that's a true baseball guy from a baseball family. So he's not going to mind competing. But I think that's probably the two spots you can look at and say those jobs are largely settled. And obviously, you didn't go out there and, fight off all of the marauders to keep Ace Reese to put him on a bench. You know what I'm saying? I meant to mention one of the most prolific hitters in the country last year. So we'll see how things develop. And, I think Ace Reese is a guy that has really benefited from our portal haul, because I think there are just going to be more offensive pieces around him. We had a pretty good offense last year, but I think when you begin to consider – State set a school record last year in home runs. That record may last a year because we got some big bats coming in. And I think, again, the collection of talent in this league is always going to be elite. But I think it's going to be a little more evenly distributed this year. And I think that's one of those things. Again, you look at Arkansas. They've had a lot of the big portal success. They're not a team. They're not like Georgia, Kentucky, where they're going out signing a lot of players every year. But Arkansas so far, I don't think has maybe had the portal class that many people expected. And some of that, too, they got a very young and very talented freshman group. And then they've got a very talented signing class coming in. So there's a lot of unknowns around the league. And I think maybe outside of Texas, LSU's always going to be LSU. They should be anyway. But outside of Texas – I don't think you look at this and say, hey, we're going to be talent deficient when we take the field. When we make that trip to Austin, Texas, we may be playing, one of the more talented lineups in the country, but you would expect that anyway. And Texas, obviously, is a team last year that looked like they were just going to run away with this thing, and then Arkansas sweeps them. But the reality of it is this excitement is a good thing, and this uncertainty is a good thing this time, because – it's not about, who's going to play right? It's like, hey, who's going to play right because we have three or four guys capable of manning that position? That's a super cool position to be in. If you haven't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com, and you can get signed copies of The Dude and all of my sports titles. That include Flim Flam. Of course, we spent a whole segment talking about all that experience. You can read Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and, of course, The Dude. In addition to that, the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, is available to you as well. In addition to that, come join us over at jeanspage.com. Nobody's going to cover Mississippi State like we do. 10 stories today. Minimum 10 stories every day. at jeanspage.com. There's always plenty of stuff to write about, and you guys deserve the best coverage in the country. We're committed to bringing it to you. And if you're a person that just kind of needs a break, or perhaps you got chronic pain or anxiety, then maybe we can help you at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. We've helped many others. So come give it a shot. Even if you don't have those ailments, you could be a person that just needs a mental reset, a chance to just kind of relax. We can get you in a profound sense of relaxation more times than not. So call Dana at 662-268-7601 and find out all you need to know. I'm going to float again this week. I will be at Rotary today, Monday, in Starkville. So for those of you that are members, be sure and come check that out. And it's been a while since we've had a Sunday night show, but I wanted to get that up because I didn't want that hanging over my head all day tomorrow, you know, with an event that sometimes can get a little bit elongated. And you never know what Monday's going to bring, right? So I wanted to go ahead and get this knocked out. I'll have this article up first thing Monday morning, and then we'll see what the day brings. And again, we're one day closer to college football season. And I know that there is a lot of maybe measured expectations. But I'll tell you, we only get a handful of these opportunities each year to kind of congregate together as a fan base. I do think we're going to be better than many people expect. We're probably not going to be as good as we want to be. But I do think we take a step forward this year, and I hope that you'll come out and join us. Single game tickets are now available for sale. So maybe if you couldn't make the commitment of time or finances to be a season ticket holder, you've got an opportunity now to maybe pick a game or two. Maybe you get the flex pack or whatever, but you can get single game tickets now, and we encourage you to do so. Hey, let's get out of here. And for those of you listening to the show on Monday morning, good morning to you. And we look forward to seeing you around on social media and at jeanspage.com message boards. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.